Shalom, disciples of Yeshua, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and ongoing student of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Ta-da, my dear, and we are continuing in the book of Jude. Just a reminder that all our past programs are archived on shofarministries.net. Honey, please ask God for His blessing.
Abba, Father, Your word says only You can know the end from the beginning, and that we should trust You alone and not lean on our own understanding, because we have full assurance that You will continue to direct our paths, make our way smooth, and keep our burdens light. Bless this program as well as the listeners today, and please give Your ear to their personal requests and the salvation for all our loved ones. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so Israel, they've been experiencing some high temperatures, and Netanyahu spent Saturday night in the Shiva hospital due to what they say was from dehydration and is now fine, but was still sent home wearing a subcutaneous heart monitor for ongoing observation.
And an update about Jenin.
Well, Israel has now withdrawn. 12 Palestinians did die in the 2 days of clashes. But now, tensions are very high on the Lebanon-Israeli border over territorial boundary disputes.
You know, it's always something.
Oh, yeah. And now it's protesting continues in Israel over Netanyahu's planned judicial reforms to help eliminate bribery of high officials in the courts. Bibi has already softened his reforms after much backlash, including from President Biden. But the people say it's just not good enough. Bibi says he can't soften it anymore, for they are needed because the judiciary has too much control over public policy and need a better balance as to allow the Knesset to override certain Supreme Court rulings when they felt it would be detrimental to their security. Also now, a big problem is that the military reservists, to include many in the Air Force, are protesting as well, and they're just not showing up for duty. As you can imagine, that could be disastrous if attacked. So, will Netanyahu pause these reforms for a while, as Biden highly suggests he should, since a report has surfaced that the Biden administration is reassessing our relationship with Israel?
No joke.
Can you believe it? My guess, and it's my guess, is there must be times when Washington is perhaps bribing some Israeli officials over the Palestinian issues.
Why else are we so involved?
Yeah. According to the Wall Street Journal, and as we reported last week, CNN's recent interview with Biden shows where he did criticize Prime Minister Netanyahu's coalition.
And still refuses to invite Bibi to the White House.
Yep. But to appease Americans, he invited Israel's president, Herzog, who has now arrived here and will speak and address a joint meeting of Congress tomorrow. And he's going to talk about Iran and its proxies, as in Hamas, who are right now holding 4 Israeli soldiers captive in Gaza, and they've been there for many years. But this visit will also commemorate 75 years of Israel's statehood. Hallelujah. However, I think when they reach 77, as in 2 sevens, well, let's just say it should be a very remarkable year.
Amen.
So, what will Bibi do? Give in to Washington and the protesters, or stick to his judicial reforms? We, of course, pray he will be strong and not give in.
Or do any further compromise.
Yeah, so we'll see, but I would guess that Biden will give a strong message to President Herzog to take back to Bibi.
And no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm. And did you hear about Kamala? She said that we should reduce the population in her recent speech.
Yeah, I saw a clip of that.
The White House, of course, later backed that away and, you know, backed off on that and said she meant to say pollution, not population. But we all know that is the globalist agenda. And it is voiced by Bill Gates a few times, and especially on TED Talk a couple years ago. And he added that vaccines can assist in that. It's still on YouTube, along with quite an array of similar topics.
Quite revealing, for sure.
And by the way, investigation of Hunter and Joe are continuing quite nicely with compelling evidence, with more whistleblowers testifying.
Okay, we do welcome all of your comments and end-time questions, either by email to Sheila at ShofarMinistry.net or call the office, leaving a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings, no matter how small, are always very much appreciated. Any correspondence will automatically add you to our newsletter list. You can also donate through our webpage, shofarministry.net, where you will also find our past radio and teaching newsletters, all archived for your learning pleasure.
All right. All right, so last week we looked at the first five verses where Jude begins by qualifying the bride as being called, sanctified, and then preserved in Jesus Christ.
And that the Holy Spirit changed Jude's mind about the topic of his letter.
Right, from a letter just about salvation to the importance of contending for the faith, because certain ungodly men continually infiltrate the body of Christ, teaching heresy, as in lewdness is okay, and denying the true gospel. And now we are seeing the woke movement in today's so-called churches, and that includes transgenderism. Who would have thought? In verse 5, we saw the first of three different groups of people that God has appointed out for judgment. Starting in the Old Testament of Israel's judgment of the golden calf incident, where God ordered the Levites to slay 3,000 Hebrews as a result of their idolatry.
Well, thus proving God is a jealous God.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
Believe it. Judgment will come upon those who give allegiance anywhere else. At Mount Sinai, Moses told them he would be back. But because they wanted something tangible that they could see, they made a golden calf to worship, which was a symbol of virility used in the worship to the false god Baal.
They lacked trust.
I'll say, even after all that God had just done for them to escape Egypt, even parting the entire Red Sea and destroying Egypt's military. And you know, we too know all the marvelous things God has done for us, salvation alone. And yet, if not awake, we can still mess up too. And sometimes in that same category without even realizing it.
Like how?
Well, by allowing other things like our golden calves to take precedence before alone time spent with God in His Word. And that is the key. Alone with God in His Word. Because it wasn't that they denied God. To the contrary, they never denied Him, but they wanted to add something along with God, something they could see, like that statue.
Remember, in Egypt, there were many gods.
Right. So their mindset was already tarnished. And we do see that after the 3,000 were killed, God did forgive those who were left, although they could not enter Canaan and wandered 40 years in the desert as consequence for their sin. Which tells us as well that although we are forgiven, sometimes there are consequences to our sins that we don't always recognize as being from that particular sin that we committed in our past.
So consequences might come later.
In some cases. Anyhow, God rewrote the commandments on new stone tablets. But the main reason here is we can see that God does and will again judge the people.
And don't forget the flood.
Yes, that was surely a biggie. And yet, God says the coming and final judgment is the worst judgment of all. It's going to be so much suffering, and it won't be a quick death as it was in the flood.
Oh, and there were the 12 spies incident.
Oh, yeah, where 10 said they couldn't take the land because of the giants, even after God told them to. So obviously, giants were around after the flood as well. Anyhow, God said, as your punishment, they would all die except Joshua and Caleb, with only their descendants, 40 years later, that would enter the promised land.
A question often comes up, where are those 3,000 spirits meant?
Well, first off, remember, they were covered under the blood of the Lamb in Exodus 12 on the doorpost, right?
Right.
And yes, they did sin by their disobedience, but Scripture does record they repented.
In Numbers 14:40.
Yeah, so their punishment was not seeing the promised land. But I do believe their spirits, with other righteous spirits, went to Abraham's bosom until Christ's resurrection. And then they were set free to enter heaven. And now they are awaiting the righteous resurrection of when we all will receive our new resurrected bodies. Okay, let's move to verse 6 to see how God judged another different kind of group. And I must point out, as we did last week, how very nonchalant Jude speaks about it. It's so matter of fact. And that should tell us something, because today, the fallen angels are seldom talked about or often not taken literally. Let's read that in verse 6.
And the angels who did not keep...
And by the way, that the original Greek says they actually deserted
their proper domain, but left their own abode.
That's residence or a dwelling place.
He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for...
Or until...
The judgment of the great day.
Okay, first off, this shows us that the angels have a free will, and that some chose to leave heaven and are now bound in the abyss till Revelation 9, when they are let out of the abyss as part of the great judgment on the remaining unrighteous.
Yeah, some confuse this to mean the angels' judgment.
No, they have already been judged and are unredeemable. These actually will be let loose for the purpose to torment men until the end of the tribulation, when they are chained up again along with Satan till the end of the millennial kingdom, Revelation 20. Then, to one last time, test the mortals before eternity begins. And then, all evil is tormented forever in the lake of fire. Let's confirm that in 2 Peter 2, verses 4 through 7. And notice the word reserved.
God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment.
Again, that's the tribulation judgment of the last days.
And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. And
about 500 years later,
turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them into destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked.
Wow. God made Sodom and Gomorrah an example for those who would live ungodly afterward. We truly are in the times, like Sodom and Gomorrah. And like Lot, we too are oppressed by the filth surrounding us. So, also like Lot, being our example, we'll leave before the judgment begins. It's all right there. So rejoice and praise the Lord. We will escape, just as Luke 21 says we will.
And we do take the Bible literally.
Oh, yeah. Whenever possible. Taking into account the customs of the first century, or if it is an obvious metaphor and actually tells us it's like something else.
An example of this is in Song of Solomon.
Yeah. Chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag." Definitely a metaphor. And although I read to you from the New King James, or sometimes the ESV from Qumran, I also check the original Hebrew or Greek before I teach on it. And we highly suggest you get the interlinear Bible that has the Hebrew and Greek in it if you enjoy doing a deeper study.
So the evil angels who mated with women are now in chains.
Yeah. Under darkness until the middle of the tribulation, again, Revelation 9, when led out to torture the unrighteous still on earth. So Jude doesn't have to expound on what they did when they left heaven, because he assumes we already know that from Genesis 6 and other historical writings like the writings of Enoch, whom Jude references in verse 14. And by the way, there was a variety of different authors from the first century who all agreed on Genesis 6, which explains the casualness on this topic. You know, the Sethite view nonsense came along much later, around the 5th century. And Jude, again, is just reminding us that God does judge.
And will remind us again in verse 7.
And by the way, these fallen angels were called the sons of God in the Old Testament because they were directly created by God. And so is Adam. And you and I are also called the sons of God in the New Testament because we have been adopted by the blood of Jesus into God's family. And the Trinity is living inside us. We are the temple now. So, as a refresher, let's read Moses' account of what the fallen angels did, and they tried to defile the bloodline because of God's promises of a Redeemer in Genesis 3 to Adam and Eve after their sin. This mixing of their seed with women resulted in the horrific judgment of a worldwide flood. Let's read Genesis 6, verses 1 and 2.
"And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives."
By the way, the word wives is number 802, Isha, and it can actually mean just women. It doesn't have to mean that they were married.
"Of all which they chose."
And then in verse 4 explains they came into the women and produced giants. Now we know that angels can change to look like normal men, right?
As in the case of Abraham's visitors.
Right. And then they went on to Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember how the Sodomite men desired them? I think you all should maybe reread this week, Genesis chapter 18 and 19. Anyway, when the woman gave birth, they were regular-sized babies but grew into giants.
Let's go over the sons of God again.
Okay, we'll do it again. The reason angels had the title sons of God is because they were directly created by God. This is also why Adam had this title, but Adam's descendants did not. But we do, because we as believers are indwelled by the Trinity, betrothed to Jesus Christ, and adopted into the family of God. Again, those that say the sons of God were the descendants of Seth, who married the daughters of the evil Cain, well, I totally disagree. For how would they have produced giants?
That's just not in their genes.
Agree. And an example of angels being referred to as the sons of God is in Job, when he describes who was with him at the time of his creation. Let's look at Job 1, verse 6.
Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them.
And chapter 2, verse 1 says the same thing. At another time, when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them.
And also in chapter 38.
Yes, where God reveals his omnipotence to Job. It's really clear that the sons of God were indeed the angels. And we also read where God is questioning Job in chapter 38. He's questioning Job in verses 4 through 7.
Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurement? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or laid its cornerstone when the morning stars,
and that would be a certain group of angels,
sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy.
Okay, so we see here that the sons of God are certainly angels, and they're with God at the time before the creation of man. So again, in Genesis chapter 6, we read that these sons of God, well, they chose to leave their abode to mate with women, and then that produced giants. And there were a lot of them. And, okay, so we're going to get into verse 7 next week. But since we have a couple of minutes, I want to answer a common question that often gets sent in. And that is, where do demons come from? So from my studies and research, demons are the disembodied spirits of dead giants. And they're always looking for a home. Anyhow, do some study on your own. And remember, we're only supposed to stir you up to do your own homework. For even if you come to a different conclusion, the point is, you are studying. And that's what really pleases him. And he will surely bless you for it. And that is a promise. So, precious one, if you are listening out there and you still have never made the biblical Jesus Lord over your life, what are you waiting for? You need to do it right now. Because Jesus suffered greatly and died on the cross for you. He, in agony, paid your entire debt for your sins. Because there's a debt to pay for sin. And he paid it. And he says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door," and I believe that's your heart, "and he's knocking. And he says, open the door, and I will come into you, and I will dine with you, and you with me." I know you sense him as he's knocking right now, but he won't crash in. It's your move. You can be the beneficiary of this love story, which was written in blood on a wooden cross, erected in Judea 2,000 years ago, and he's coming back. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing, number 6:22-27. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, you love Jerusalem, you're going to prosper, and we're going to live there someday. So till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.